So good morning, folks. My name is Stephen. Maybe I should take a moment or two to introduce myself. A number of you may not know me. I've been coming along with my wife Eunice to the church here for probably about 3 years now. I work as a leadership consultant, and that means, well, who knows what that means, but often people say, what is it you do anyway? I sometimes wonder myself. But I work with leaders, I work with managers, I try to bring the best out of them and the teams that they work with. That's, I guess, essentially what I do. Prior to doing that, I was a pastor for about 25 years, initially down in Glasgow, and then more recently up here in Aberdeen. This morning we're going to look at really just a single verse in John chapter 1. And that single verse, verse 12, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." 2 years ago, my sister died very suddenly. It was a big shock to us all. And after she died, I was given this box. The box didn't really belong to her. The box belonged to our grandmother. We used to call her our Nan. And I guess it was kind of like my Nan's memory box. We would call it our filing cabinet now, I think. And inside this memory box, which actually I only really opened 2 or 3 weeks ago, there was a whole range of interesting things. Old newspaper cuttings. There was little books of tickets from how she had paid for her sewing machine. It took her about 3 years to pay off her sewing machine. You get a little ticket every week as you would pay it up, and a wee stamp. There was those kind of things in here. And also important kind of family documents. And one of those documents was her husband's death certificate. His name was Frank Hibbard. And it describes his occupation there as a retired rag grinder. Not a common occupation now, really, a rag grinder. I think we'd say we'd be in the renewables industry. They were not a well-to-do family. My grandparents lived in a three-roomed house, one room down the stairs and two little small bedrooms up the stairs. Lived in Yorkshire, I guess a kind of mining community. And they were too poor, I guess, even to have a council house in those days. And so they lived in what was a tied house to the church. And for cleaning and looking after the building and for opening it up for people to come and have meetings, they were allowed to stay in this little house. A little house that had not really a kitchen, it had really a cupboard, and of course it had no bathroom or toilet. So they shared the church toilets, which were not actually in the church either. There was just a single toilet, kind of like 20, 30 metres in between the two buildings, which made it quite interesting when we used to visit at Christmas, because we tended to go summer and Christmas to visit. And the gap under the toilet door was definitely about that. And you could feel it on a cold winter's day when you had to go to the toilet, especially at night, because you needed a torch to go to the toilet. They were not well off, but she loved to receive us, particularly at Christmas and during the holidays. And even though she didn't have much, she would always entertain us with roast beef and Yorkshire pudding. That was her favourite meal. She was generous in the way she produced food. She would spend days baking before we arrived, so that we would enjoy her hospitality for the days that we stayed there. Me and my sisters used to share what was a rather small bed, kind of top to toe, I think would be the phrase we might use. But we all squeezed in. I'm really still not sure where my parents slept, if I'm being honest. Maybe on the sofa. It was tight, but it was hospitable. She received us into her home. And we experienced family together. That love, that belonging that you enjoy when you're part of family. And this morning we're thinking about what it means to be part of God's family. And John says to us here in chapter 1 of his gospel, to belong to God's family, we simply need to receive Jesus. And to continue to enjoy the benefits of belonging to that family, to continue to believe in Jesus. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. We're going to celebrate communion a little bit later on, and as Steve was saying, it's going to be just a little bit different this morning. But let's make that a good thing. As we receive the bread today, that's really symbolic of what's in our hearts, what our desire is to receive Jesus, to place our faith in him, to believe in him. And I'm going to encourage you today to think carefully as you receive that communion today. Have I received Jesus? Do I continue to believe in Jesus? As we read that fuller gospel passage there in chapter 1, we see the essence of what John is trying to communicate here is that the Word became flesh. Jesus, the spiritual power, became a human being. And he lived among us. And now by his Spirit, he wants to be right inside of us. For us to be very much in him as he is in us. For us to be family. The verse begins with an interesting word, a bridge word. It says, yet. Yet. It's connecting back to the previous verse, and it's contrasting those who did not receive Jesus. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. He was not welcomed by those who were part of the Jewish community at that time. And as we reference back and rewind to the birth of Christ, there is that great symbolic moment, really, that powerful moment of his family coming to the inn and not being received. There was no room in the inn. It was almost as if God planned every single detail of the coming of Jesus. The first statement he wanted to make to the world was, there was no room. And I guess within it, the challenge to us, will we make room? Will we receive Jesus? It says to all who did receive him. Now, got a bit of Greek for you here this morning. I do know a little Greek. He runs a restaurant down in the town. This word here, to receive, it's aorist. It means it's in the past. It's a specific moment in time. And it's in the active voice. It means it's a choice that we make at a moment in time. To those who did receive him, there is a moment in our lives where we have to choose to receive Jesus, or maybe not to receive Jesus. A few weeks ago, as Ian was reflecting on his ministry, he put up the the picture of Holman Hunt. Here it is. Famous picture that he drew of Jesus knocking at the door. This picture was given to me by my nan, and it used to sit by the side of my bed as a teenager. Jesus, the light of the world. But the powerful picture is of the door with no handle, the overgrown door. Only we can open the door to Jesus. Have you received Jesus into your life? We cannot fail to ignore the news just now of the coronavirus, and it raises for us many questions, particularly questions about life and death. People are very much aware of the fragility now of life. But when we think about receiving Jesus, we're not thinking about receiving Jesus as somehow a ticket to heaven or an insurance policy against hell. Rather, receiving Jesus is about becoming part of his family. And for that, to be eternal. To become one of the children of God forever. In this life and in the life to come. And the word there is that of taking hold of something, of grasping. There's something about reaching out and taking hold of Jesus. This next little picture maybe illustrates that for us. Sometimes we need to let go, don't we? To take hold of the rescuer. To take hold of Jesus and welcome his salvation into our lives. It's the word that we use in the marriage ceremony when we say, "Do you take this man? Do you take this woman?" It's that sense of commitment for life. And that's a challenge for every single one of us here today. Have we received Jesus? Have we grasped hold of him? Have we committed our lives to him? Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, this is more about the present. It's a continuous, present, active voice to those who keep on believing. So this sense of there's a one-time receiving of Jesus, but there's then that ongoing, continuing faith and belief and trust in him. And the focus is very much on the name of Jesus. And as we read through Scripture, we see that Jesus has many different names. And in this passage, John picks up on the true light, the Word who became flesh. And the encouragement is for us to put our trust, our faith, our belief in the true light. What does it mean to put our trust in? I want to show you this next picture. It's a family picture. The folk on the right are actually pastors. They're pastors of Easter House Baptist. On the left, my son and my daughter, and my other daughter is the one taking the photograph. You can't actually see her because she's behind the camera. What is significant about this particular picture is the chair. Neil, who's sitting on the chair, is doing so at great risk. You may not realise that. The reason for the great risk that Neil is taking is because I bought these budget chairs in IKEA and constructed them myself. He is exercising great faith in this moment. Faith is when we put our weight on the chair and we believe that chair will hold us in the moment. And that's what it means to put our faith in the name of Jesus. We believe in his name and what that name will bring us in the moment. For me, it was Jesus as my light, my guide. And as I've gone through life, I'd say that's been a really significant name for me. He is my guide, my shepherd, the one who shines the light. There's something about his leadership. He leads me. And there are moments in life when that becomes very real for you. I remember driving from Glasgow to Aberdeen when we were reflecting on moving church. And there came that moment where you had to tell your children you were going to move house. Or certainly we were thinking about that. And that was a challenge because we knew that they were so embedded in the community in Glasgow. They had so many good friends. They had a wonderful life down there. Why on earth would they want to move to where? Aberdeen? Where's that? And I know I kept putting that moment off. But finally, as we were driving up to Aberdeen to have some further discussion about the move, broke the news. And then for 2 hours solid, the children sobbed in the back of the car at this horrendous news that they had just been given. And yet we still came. Because we had that deep conviction that we had been led, that the light had been shone in our path, and that we would trust in Jesus. We put our faith in his name and believe that he would lead us into a good place. And then 4 years ago, when again I felt a stirring in my spirit, getting my roots loosened, that leadership voice which said, I want you to go back into the kind of workplace setting. I want you to go into a place where people exercise leadership and responsibility and influence to get alongside people and bring out the best in them and bring something of the kingdom of God. That was a tough decision to make, and one which other people didn't necessarily understand. Aren't you a pastor for life? Don't you die as a pastor? How can you step out of that and go back into like a job? And yet for me, there was still that sense of calling and leading, of following the light into that place. And now I'm able to bring that light, that guidance into the people I meet. So I'm receiving, through my faith in the name of Jesus, who he is, but I'm passing that on to other people as I lead them, as I enable them to look to that light and receive something of his presence. I think back to just a couple of weeks ago, where I sat with 3 different people in coaching sessions, and I was able very gently and appropriately to share something of what I believed had been put in my heart for them. And it landed, and they were moved. I can think of a meeting earlier on this year. And just before the meeting, just the day before the meeting, in fact, I'd been talking to one of the people who would be there, and they had been sharing their concern about their income for the coming year and how little work they had. And I said, look, if it's okay with you, could I pray for you about that? And they agreed. The next day in the meeting, we did just a brief check around how everybody was doing. And she said, well, yesterday I wasn't doing well, but Stephen said he would pray for me. And today I've got a brand new contract and I'm feeling like really secure about my future income. And I was like, wow, that was bold. I would never have said that, especially in front of a whole group of non-Christians. And I think, would I have had those opportunities? Would I have had those moments if I hadn't followed the light followed the leadership of Jesus. So this morning I want to ask you, what are the name or names of Jesus that are important for you? So as you take communion this morning, you could focus on one of those names. Who is Jesus, if you like, to you? Is he the bread of life? And you need to receive some sustenance for yourself today? But you could also take that to others this week. Who is Jesus to you? Or is he the Prince of Peace? Boy, do people need peace at the moment with all the fear and panic that is around. As you take the bread this morning, could you place your faith in the Prince of Peace and say, Jesus, I receive you and I receive your peace this morning. And then as you go into this week and you walk into your place of work, as you walk into your college, as you interact with your friends, take that peace with you and release it into those places. Or maybe you need wisdom today. Place your faith in Jesus and his wisdom and say, give me your wisdom today for the decisions that I need to make. But also help me to cascade that wisdom as I interact with people this week. Whatever the name is, whoever you need Jesus to be for you today, place your faith in his name. And there's just a selection that are there on the screen for you. The Good Shepherd, Mighty God, Savior, Redeemer, the Lamb of God, the Holy One, the Deliverer, the one who is with us. And then it says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And the word that's used here is a legal term. It doesn't mean the automatic right, like we see, if you like, in the United Nations Declarations of Human Rights, like the right to free speech. No, this is more a privilege, something that is granted to you, like the right to fish in a river, or to receive a passport, or to adopt a child, or to build an extension on your house. That sense of you've been given permission, you've been given authority, you've been given access. As you place your faith in Jesus today, whether that's for the first time or it's an ongoing expression of faith, as you do that, you are granted, you are given access. You are given security. You're given power. You're given freedom to receive all the blessings that God has for you today. And what is the one that John focuses on here? He says, it is the right to become children of God. Yes, there is that starting point, that birth moment, and John expands that as we go into the gospel, into particularly chapter 3 when he has that conversation with Nicodemus. John reinforces it once again in chapter 3 and verse 5. Truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and spirit. You must be born again. There is that moment of birth for us spiritually where we become alive in Christ. But it's also an ongoing relationship where we have benefits of being in the family of God. That sense of belonging and security and connection, that joy of coming together with others for worship and prayer and encouragement. Not only is there an epidemic of coronavirus just now, in our country, there's an even greater epidemic of loneliness. Back in January 2018, the government established a Minister for Loneliness. Did you know that? 200,000 people in the UK say they have not spoken to a friend or relative in the last month. 50% of older people say that their pet or their television are the main form of company. Indeed, research shows that loneliness has a massive impact on our lifespan, equivalent to smoking 15 cigarettes a day. That's the impact of loneliness. Mark Green of the London Institute of Contemporary Christianity says we are globally wired now, but relationally disconnected. How true is that? Globally wired, but relationally disconnected. Jesus came to bring us into family. Into the family with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, but also into the family of brothers and sisters in Christ. When we come into the family of God, we can never be truly alone again because Jesus is God with us for eternity. And then we have one another too as brothers and sisters. And you can come into that family if you have not done so already, simply by receiving Jesus this morning and placing your faith in him. And if we've done that already, and we're feeling that isolation, that loneliness this morning, then I'd encourage you, put your faith in the name of Jesus, who is Emmanuel, the God who is with us. And say, Father God, give me a sense once again of your presence. Give me a sense of your Spirit being with me throughout the week. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So as we come now to the table and to receive the bread, as we sanitize our hands and receive the purity and cleansing of Jesus, let's also open our hands to receive the blessing, to receive it for ourselves, but to receive it too so that we can cascade that into the lives of those we meet this week, those in our family, in our social circles, in our places of work. Let us receive Jesus and continue to believe in him so that we may enjoy the right to become children of God.